The epistle is taken from Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at the first verse, and it is on page 1175 in the Pew Bible. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. This is the word of the Lord.
Great. Well, let me just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for our unity together and pray that you would help us this day to put into effect all that you have given and promised to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I thought as we're doing a service all together, it would be good just to focus on the first sacrament, baptism, which is the sort of the way into the Christian life. Now, in doing so, I'm very well aware that people have come to us from different traditions. There are some people that are firm believers in infant baptism, and there are some people here that are firm believers that adult baptism is the right way to go. And I want to say from the outset, while the tradition of the Church of England, which is very ancient, it goes back at least, it can be demonstrably back at least to the second century, if not actually into New Testament times, is a perfectly good and valid biblical tradition, I also recognise that what people call believers' baptism or adult baptism can equally well be scripturally justified. And as we're united together from those different traditions, I don't want us to focus on our different understandings of when the right time for baptism is, but rather what the baptism actually means and the promises of God, which are set forth for all of us, whether we've been baptized or dedicated as little children, or whether we were baptized later in life as adults. In a sense, I'm not concerned with that today. What I want us to think about is actually what it actually means to be baptized and to live that out as all those who are united through our baptism in Christ. And I've brought a visual aid. Do any of you youngsters want to come and have a look at my visual aid here this morning? It's not this morning. It's the first time I've been in church today and I still think it's morning. Yeah, come and join me. Any youngsters want to come and have a look? I can see. Come on, join me. Come and have a look. Yeah. Hello, Johnny. I saw you were here. Go on. Yeah. You want to come and have a look? Yeah, come and have a look. You see, whenever we have baptisms here, we always do it over there in the font. And our church ones are very good. They get some lovely tap water, often from the kettle, to warm it nicely. And put it in the font there, ready for the baptism. I want to say that probably isn't how most baptisms have taken place across the world. So I brought some special water here. Do you know what this is? Do you know where this comes from? Do you want to have a look? Yeah?
Does it come from the River Jordan?
It doesn't come from the River Jordan. No, that's a good try. Any other suggestions? Yeah? Does it look good?
No.
What's wrong with it?
If you tip that over someone's head, I probably think they'll run out of wherever you are.
Really? Don't tempt me, Johnny. Whenever children or families approach me for baptism here, I always offer them the Rothley Brook. No one's ever taken me up on it. I am willing to get in the Rothley Brook to do baptisms. This is genuine, authentic Rothley Brook water. There we go. Have some Rothley Brook water. There we go. Do you want some Rothley Brook water?
You just happy.
Yeah, yeah. Do you want some, Gabriella? Have some Raithy Brook water. Any of you grown-ups want some Raithy Brook water?
Yeah, give some to my mum.
Come on then, Johnny. Come on then, Johnny. Just a little bit. No, are you sure? Yeah? Well, we might do that later. Because we want to think about what it means to be baptised.
Not
and,
to my mum. Not to me.
And in a sense, today is an opportunity, as I say, whatever... You know, we think about the right age of baptism or dedication or whatever, an opportunity to reaffirm the commitments that are made in baptism. So we may actually want to use this as a way of doing that later. Okay, do you want... Well, no, actually, tell me, when you think of water in the Bible, what do you think of?
The opposite of this.
Okay, yeah. Any stories? No?
Noah's Ark.
Well done, first one. Great. Good. Okay, do you want to sit down then? Yeah, great. Brilliant. There's a lot of pictures in the New Testament to help us to understand baptism and what it actually means. And as Johnny just told us, one of them is Noah's Ark. And Peter, in his letter, refers to that. He says, 8 in all were saved through water, and this symbolizes baptism. So Noah's Ark symbolizes baptism. So it tells us something about baptism. And Noah's Ark was a way by which people were saved from God's punishment against wrongdoing. And that's one thing we want to remember about baptism. It symbolizes that God saves us from God's punishment against wrongdoing. Okay? Another story about water in the Bible. You've had your turn. You can't have them all. Someone else? Anyone else? Yeah? Yes. That's the Jesus. The answer's not always Jesus. another one. Oh, passing of the Red Sea. There we go. Well done. Paul refers to this in Corinthians in relation to baptism. He says, our ancestors all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses. So again, that's another picture for us to help us to understand what happens in baptism. It's leading us from slavery to sin into the glorious inheritance. That is God's promise to you in baptism. Whether you were tiny or whether you were old when you're baptized, that God is leading you from slavery to sin to his glorious inheritance for you. Okay? Another one. Here we have from Peter. He says, this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also, not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience towards God. So it's not simply about washing the dirt off our hands or whatever, like the picture shows there, but actually it's about washing the moral dirt from us, being given a new heart, a new spirit. As Jeremiah says, I'll take that old heart from you and I'll give you a heart and I've put my spirit on you to keep my commands. So it's a pledge of a new conscience. Do you know, sometimes I stand on Rothley Brook, on the bridge just down there. I don't stand on Rothley Brook, sorry. No, don't want to go there. And I stand on the bridge, and you know, there's nobody there to play poo sticks with, but you know, I'm a kid. Chuck something in one side, well, upstream, then go to the other side, and you watch it come out, and you just watch it disappear off into the distance, and you know, you will never see that again. Actually, that's what baptism is symbolizing that God does with our sins, isn't it? He washes us clean from all that moral wrongdoing, and it is washed away, never to be seen again. Never to be seen again. He cleanses us by his Spirit. So we've got three things so far. He saves us from God's punishment. Baptism symbolizes being saved from God's punishment, being delivered from slavery to sin, to God's glorious promised inheritance, to having our moral filth washed away, being cleansed by the Spirit. Okay? Just a couple more. in Romans and also in Colossians and in Galatians, it uses the phrase of us being baptized into Christ. Let me read this. Don't you know that all of us who are baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Jesus was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So what would happen, children, if I plunged you down into this water? Yeah? Well, yeah, you're going too far ahead of me. Just think about it. If I got hold of you and went down to Rothley Brook and held you under, what would happen to you? Yeah, you'd drown. That's right, you would drown. You'd be dead. You'd be dead. You'd be drowned. If I got hold of you, took you down to the brook and held you under. But then bringing you up brings you up to new life. And what Paul is saying here is that in baptism, we're united with Christ in his death on the cross, going down into the water, dying, in order that as we come up out of the water to breathe fresh air again, so we are united with Christ in his resurrection life. Colossians says we're actually seated with him in the heavenlies now. So baptism symbolizes God's promise that we have died to the old self and risen to eternal life. That is God's promise for those who have been baptized. And then lastly, in 1 Corinthians, it says we were all baptized by one spirit so as to form one body. So we're not just baptized into Christ, but we are baptized into the body of the church. And so therefore, by being baptized, we no longer belong just to ourselves, but we belong to each other, which is why baptism is one of the great uniting things for us. And as I say, these truths apply whether we're sort of dedicated or whatever, or baptized as infants or baptized as adults. These are all God's promises to us through baptism, all of those things for us. But it's not automatic. You know, there's nothing magic about the water, and we should never drift into thinking that is the case. John Calvin, back in the 1500s, wrote this: from this sacrament we gain nothing unless we receive in faith. Evidence of our ingratitude, by which we are proved guilty before God for not believing the promise. So if we don't receive it in faith, that's evidence that we've been offered all of these promises that I've just mentioned, but we've decided we don't want them. It's as if I were to be given an amazing present and you just put it one side and say, I just want to get on with my life my own way. That would be evidence of ingratitude and would place us under God's judgment. So there's nothing automatic about baptism. God promises, and what God promises, God keeps his promises, but it has to be received by faith. And so it is up to each of us to actually live out our baptism. And I just want to mention, partly because it's mentioned in that passage we had in Ephesians, but also because all of these illustrations, the ark, the crossing of the Red Sea, the washing, the being baptized into Christ, and the being baptized into one body, all of those are all mentioned in the context where the writer of that letter is saying, live it out. Okay, remember your baptism and live it out. And these are the sorts of ways that are mentioned. Because you're all baptized together, live in unity together. That's why it's so good to come together like this. As I say, whatever our understandings of the right age or of baptism or whatever, we live it out together in unity with one another. Another application is given is we belong to one another. We are a family together. You know, it's when we talk about being a church family, that is because we've been baptized into one body together. And therefore, as in any family, people love each other, bear with each other, care for each other, and so on. So we, as God's people, do that with each other. And thirdly, is to keep Jesus' teaching obediently. Those first words in the reading we had, where Paul says, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Live a life worthy. And that means actually following Jesus' way. It's no good looking back on your baptism and saying, I was baptized, so it doesn't matter how I live. No, baptism is the gateway to living faithful discipleship, living a life worthy of our calling. And that affects our daily lives. It's a reminder to us that wherever we're tempted, we need to think, hang on a minute, I'm baptized. I need to live a life worthy of my calling rather than just live my own way. So lots of pictures there of what baptism means, and three particular things to remember as we go forwards. Our unity, that we belong to one another, and the calling to live holy lives. Let me just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us this sign and symbol to help us to understand what it means to have been saved by you. We thank you that Jesus has taken the punishment for and saved us from your punishment for our wrongdoing. We thank you that we've been rescued from slavery to freedom in the promised inheritance. We thank you that our sins are washed clean away, and we are given the Spirit to renew our hearts and give us clean hearts. We thank you that we are united with the Lord Jesus in his death, dying to our old self, and in his resurrection, so we have the certainty of a new life, an eternal life with you. And we thank you that you have not baptized us simply as individuals, but as a family to belong to one another. Help us, we pray, by your Spirit, to live that out in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.